Well, tonight, before we begin message three, we need to take care of something. We have to realize up here just to do what other sixth graders do down there. We are up here because we love the Lord.
Amen.
And because we are seeking the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And we are here to be sanctified. So we need to be careful not to allow common things to creep in,
right,
to sneak in.
Right.
In the meetings, we're here to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Our singing is to help us enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
The messages are help us to know the Lord.
Amen.
Our speaking is to help us enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And in our meetings, we don't want anything else to slip in. So tonight, we need to take care of sanctifying this atmosphere.
Amen.
One of the best ways to sanctify the atmosphere is to pray. You know, before we eat dinner, we sanctify our food. We set it apart. It's not common food. It's food for God's people. We sanctify it by praying. Well, we sanctify the meetings also by praying. And tonight, not only am I going to pray, but I'm going to ask some of you. Right now, sixth graders, who would like to stand up with me and to pray to sanctify the meeting?
Amen.
Go, just stand.
Good.
Okay? Good. Okay, good. Stop. Okay. Very good. Okay? You're going to have to pray loud, okay? So we can all hear and say amen. And we are going to start from this corner, and we'll work our way around. Okay, so you start with you. Go. Amen. 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 Good.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Good. No, no more standing. Okay, right here.
Amen.
Thank you for this day.
Amen.
Jesus, thank you for this six-day conference.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, right here.
Amen.
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 Good.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you that we can learn more about you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for all of your services.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you that we can come just to worship you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for everything, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
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 Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing all of us here this weekend.
Amen.
Thank you for showing us that you are our Savior.
Amen.
Oh, how we rejoice that you have saved us from our sins.
Amen.
Thank you, you died in our place.
Amen.
That all our sins could be forgiven.
Amen.
And tonight we open our heart to you again.
Amen.
Show us how you have also saved us from the world.
Amen.
That once we were without hope,
that's right,
but now we have hope.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all say praise the Lord together. Praise the Lord. Brothers.
Praise the Lord.
Sisters.
Praise the Lord.
Very good. Tonight, we're on message 3. So turn to the outline. It's page 20 in your handout. Tonight, are you listening? Tonight is the second gospel message.
Amen.
The second good news. Wasn't that good news this morning?
Amen.
You know, if I have a piece of white paper, and I really want to impress you with how white the paper is, the best thing for me to do to show you how white this piece of paper is for, first of all, me to put up a black background. Then when there's a back background, when I put the white piece of paper against it, ooh, you'll say, wow, that is white. Look how white that piece of paper is. The background helps us to appreciate the white piece of paper. Well, this morning, in this morning's message, we began and we spoke about the black background, that we were all sinners. And because we were all sinners, we were under God's righteous judgment. And there was no way that we could save ourselves from God's judgment. Was that not a black background? Oh, but aren't you happy we didn't end the meeting there?
Amen.
Aren't you happy I didn't sit down and just leave you a black background to look at? But then we went on to see some wonderful good news.
Amen.
That our God loves us and He became a man. And as a man, He took our place. He bore the judgment for our sins.
Right.
He paid the price in full.
Amen.
So that He could righteously forgive us. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, tonight we have to go on. We have to go on to see what else we are saved from. And so tonight we'll begin by also putting up for you, painting for you, the black background. But let me just say something before we begin this outline and this message. I'd like to explain something. This morning, many of you stood up to pray to receive the Lord as your Savior. You stood up for the first time, or some of you stood up because you may have prayed before, but you didn't have the assurance. You were a little unsure whether you had received the Lord as your Savior before. It was so wonderful to see you stand to receive the Lord. And we also know that many of you, before you came up here, you had already prayed to receive the Lord as your Savior. You had prayed maybe with your mother or father, or perhaps you had prayed with one of the serving ones with you in the children's meeting. And we know the truth in the Bible is we only have to receive the Lord as our Savior once for all. This is a wonderful fact. We can never, never, never. Did you get it? Never. Can you ever?
No,
never. Right? Never, 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 never lose our salvation.
Amen.
Never. Never. And tonight, when we speak about this aspect of salvation, I want you to be clear, I'm not presenting to you a part B. This morning you got part A, and you stood and you prayed and you received the Lord. But when you prayed this morning to receive the Lord, you also received Him as the Savior.
Amen.
Related to tonight's message.
Amen.
You know, tonight's message, I'll just tell you, it's to be saved from the world, from God's judgment on the world. This morning, it was our need to be saved from God's judgment on sinners. That when you receive Christ as your Savior this morning, I want to tell you the good news. He not only saved you from the judgment of sins, He also saved you from the judgment of the world.
Amen.
Isn't that a good deal?
Amen.
You prayed once. You received one Savior. But my, what a full and complete salvation you receive.
Amen.
So tonight, even though many of you have received the Lord as your Savior, we're still going to go through the gospel message. We're still going to go through it. So you can see. You can see for yourself from what you have been saved.
Amen.
It's wonderful. I'm so excited.
Amen.
About tonight's message. I love seeing from what I have been saved.
Amen.
So let's read the title for message 3 together. Where are you without hope in the world? Now that's tragic. Without hope in the world. Someone who has not believed in Jesus Christ, someone who has not received Christ as their Savior, the truth is they are without hope in the world. Let's read Ephesians 2:12 together. That you were at that time apart from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of the promise,
having no hope and without God in the world.
Oh, this is bad news. This is bad news for those that don't have Christ. If someone is in the hospital and they're not well, the last thing you want to hear from the doctor is for the doctor to come and say, there is no hope. No hope means there's no chance. There's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that we can do. There's just no hope. Well, this verse tells us, if we read through this verse, it says that you were at that time. At that time, meaning the time when you were apart from Christ. The time when you did not believe in Christ. The time when you did not have Christ as your Savior. At that time, apart from Christ. Oh, I'm so happy that now many of you are not apart from Christ.
Amen.
But you have Christ.
Amen.
Caleb Brown, you have Christ.
Amen.
Isn't this good? What's your name? Nathan, you have Christ.
Amen.
Do you have Christ? Yes.
Amen.
If you didn't have Christ, do you know what the verdict would be?
Death.
That's right. No hope. No hope. If you didn't have Christ, I would have to say, here's Nathan. And he has no hope without Christ. No hope. But now, because you have Christ, you have hope.
Amen.
You have salvation.
Amen.
This is wonderful. So I'm so happy that we're not those who are apart from Christ.
Amen.
But we have believed in Christ.
Amen.
And when we believed in Christ, we received Christ.
Amen.
Let's go on. You were at that time apart from Christ, alienated, that means set apart, from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of the promise, and having no hope. We have to be very clear. If we are apart from Christ, no hope. But you also have to realize the opposite to that. With Christ, hope.
Amen.
With Christ, hope.
Amen.
Those who have received Christ have hope.
Amen.
Having no hope, and without God in the world. This is a very important phrase. Without God in the world. Before we receive Christ, we have to see something. We have to see the place where we are is in the world. And God is not in the world. Because it says, without God in the world. That means God is not in the world. You cannot be in the world and have God. God is not in the world. You will never find God in the world. That is why if you are in the world and you are apart from Christ and Christ is God, you have no hope. Because only God is our hope. So let's go on to see what is the world. When the Bible talks about the world, what does it refer to? I'd like to tell you, it does not, in this sense, in this context that we're talking about tonight, it does not refer to the planet Earth. Okay? Let's go on and read Roman numeral 1 together. The world is a system set up by Satan to capture, enslave, and occupy mankind, keeping them from God and His purpose. Okay, what is the world? The world is a system. A system set up by who?
Satan.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad.
He is a bad guy. So do you think he set up something good or bad?
Bad.
That's right. The world is not made to help us find God. The world is not made to help us have God as our hope. Satan used the world, set up the world so that it would be a system, so that he could capture us, he could enslave us, and he could occupy us to keep us from God and God's purpose. Do you remember Friday night? What is God's purpose? What is God's purpose related to us? That He would fill us.
Amen.
That we would receive Him. Amen. That we would contain Him as life. What does the world try to do? The world tries to capture us, enslave us, and occupy us so we would not have God as our content. When God created man, He created them, and He put them in a garden. And everything they needed was in the garden. Everything man needed for his existence was provided by God. God provided everything. So if man needed something, who would give man what he needed? God. But when man disobeyed God, man took in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man took in sin and became fallen, man was separated from God. And so now man began to look to another source for his needs. And this is where Satan came in to set up among fallen man a system. And this system called the world has many, many compartments related to man's needs, related to the necessities of man's life, where man doesn't look to God anymore for those things, but man looks to the system. Man looks to the world to meet his need. And what ends up happening when you look to the world? It occupies you. It distracts you. It keeps you from being for God. And like someone said, even though I don't encourage you to call out, the world ends up causing you to be in death. Let's go on. A, the world is condemned in the eyes of God. God does not approve of the world. The world has been condemned in the eyes of God. Let's read John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. It's very clear. God has judged the world. And he's even judged the ruler of the world. The ruler of the world is Satan, who is God's enemy. B, the whole world lies passively in the hand of the evil one. Let's read 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one. Before we believed in God, before we were of God, we were in the world. Of the world. We were of the world. And those who are of the world, this verse says, those ones who are of the world, they lie there in the hands of the evil one. It's just like someone who's about to have surgery. When you have surgery, the surgeon doesn't want you awake because he's afraid you're going to stop him from doing what he wants to do. So what do? They drug you. They drug you to make you unconscious so that you will lay there on the operating table. I can't lay very good here, but if I was drugged and about to be operated, I would just lay there like this. Pat Peter, why don't you come up here? If this table's probably not strong enough, but here's Peter laying on the table. He's being drugged. He's there. I'm the surgeon. Oh, now he's drugged. Can I do whatever I want? Can I go like this? Can I go like this? Oh, I can do anything I want. And of course, I can take my scalpel, right? And I can operate on him. Do anything I want to him. Okay, thank you. Well, it's not that funny. You know why? Because those who are in the world, enslaved, captured by Satan, are just like that. They're in his hands. They're drugged, not knowing that Satan is working to make them do things that they don't want to do, to make them do things contrary to God's purpose. This is what Satan is doing. This is how Satan uses the world. I'd like to give you an example of how subtle Satan is. Satan knows that if he were to come into the room and tell you, I want you to hate your parents. I want you to despise your parents. Most of you would say no. I hope most of you would say no. Right? Because you know that is not right. But maybe you haven't realized that because you've been in the world and of the world, you have been dragged by Satan, and he has a way to work without you knowing to cause you to hate your mother or hate your father. Oh, how does he do this? When you're drugged, you don't see it. But the way he does it is this. One day you go to school, and when you get to school, there's a group of other kids wearing a particular style of clothing. Or they've got a new kind of game. Or they've got a new kind of electronic device. And you see it. And something in you says, I've got to have that. I've got to have it. And you see that the next day you go to school, three other kids in your class have it. Oh, now you feel like, oh, everybody's wearing that piece of clothing. Everybody's got that game. Everybody has that electronic device. So then you go home and you ask your parents, Mom, Dad, I've got to have this. Every other kid at school has one of these. You've got to buy me that piece of clothing. You've got to buy me that game. And maybe that piece of clothing is not proper. You know, the principle of clothing is to cover your body. But the clothing in the world today, a lot of it is to expose as much of the body as it can. And your mother and father, because they are not of the world, because they're of God, and they know that that piece of clothing is not right, they say, no, no, you cannot have it. Or because they know that game, its content is evil or contrary to God, they say, no, you cannot have that game. Or maybe that device that you want, they tell you no. that you, in your heart, you feel like everybody else in the whole school. And maybe it's not everybody in the whole school. Maybe it really is just five kids. But you just feel like everybody else has got that. And you have to have it. And if you don't have it, you're going to be weird. And in your heart, you begin to hate your mother and father. You begin to hate them because they said no. This is someone who is drugged. This is someone who is laying there drugged and in the hands of Satan. And it's easy for him to use things in the world to manipulate you, to affect you, to influence you, to go against God and to go against God's purpose. We need to be alert. We need to know how Satan works. This is the way he works. This is how he uses the world. See, the world crucified the Lord Jesus. So the world is condemned in the eyes of God. The whole world lies passively in the hand of the evil one. And the world crucified the Lord Jesus. Who is the Lord Jesus? We were touched this morning. He is the one that willingly came and took our place. Amen. But the world does not appreciate the Lord. The world despises the Lord. The world mocks the Lord. Why, he was there on the cross, there willingly, dying in your place, dying because he knew that when he died, you would live. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this so honorable for him to do this? But the world came to him. And when the world saw him there, and actually it was the world that falsely accused him and nailed him to the cross. The world put him there. And then when they came and saw him dying there, instead of honoring that, instead of praising him for that, the world mocked him. They even came and laughed. You say you're the Son of God. Come on then. Come down from there. If you really are the Son of God, save yourself. They were mocking him, making fun of him. They didn't know what he was doing. And he could have easily hopped off. But he didn't. Because if he knew, if he hopped off, if he spared his life, you would have lost your life. That's why he stayed there on the cross. And the world did nothing but despise him and mocked him. The only thing the world gave our Lord Jesus is a grave. We have to realize that. That's the only thing the world gave our Lord Jesus was a grave. The world does not honor our Lord. D. The world is at enmity with God. The world is God's enemy. We said earlier, God is not in the world. The world and the God, the world and God are enemies. They are against one another. You will never find the world with God, and you will never find God with the world. Let's read 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. This verse is very clear. Do not love the world. Do not love it, nor the things in the world. And it tells us you cannot love both. You cannot love God and the world at the same time. It says here, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. That means while you love the world, you are not loving God. The world is at enmity with God. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. God judged the world at Noah's time. Well, I think you know, we're going to go on to see that the world is under God's judgment. And there's a story in the Bible, the story of Noah, that shows us that even there was a period of time where God had to come in to judge the world at that time, because the effect of the world on God's created people had become so strong, that God even repented that he had made man. That's how strong the influence of the world is. Let's read A together. Mankind was corrupt, living in the lust of his flesh, very sinful in the eyes of God. I'm going to read to you. You can listen. Genesis 6, 5 to 7. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, that means desire, that means purpose, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, that means man, was only evil continually. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And Jehovah said, I will blot out the man whom I have created from the surface of the ground, from man to beast to creeping things to the birds of heaven, for I repent that I have made them. There's no hope here. Men on that time were so much under the influence of the world, under Satan. They were continually evil. One, the earth was corrupt before God and was filled with violence. Genesis 6:11. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Oh, sixth graders, this world that we're living in today is getting worse and worse. I will tell you, the world is not improving. It is not getting better. And even I am seeing with my own eyes, the world in which you are living these days is becoming increasingly more and more violent. Even what children are doing to one another is becoming more and more violent. Even the things that you are watching, even the cartoons, movies, are becoming more and more violent. The games, the computer games, are becoming more and more violent. This is just like the days of Noah. Just like at the time where God judged that world. Oh, we need to be careful. We need to not be in this decline. Be careful about these things. Two, God decided to destroy mankind on the earth with a flood. Let's read Genesis 6:17 together. And now I am about to bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy from under heaven flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. This is God's judgment on the world. It's to end it. B. In the days of Noah, the people were drugged by the necessities of life. We need to realize with the world, under point A, mankind was corrupt, living in the lust of the flesh. They were very sinful. There was no restraint. At the time of Noah, there was no restriction, no restraint. The evil things that they did. But not only were the people doing evil things, according to point B, also in the days of Noah, the people were drugged just by the necessities of life, even by the good things, even by the necessary things. We have to realize this is what the world is like. In the world, there are evil things. Also in the world, there are good things. And Satan will even use the good things to occupy us, to trap us, to enslave us, to make us too busy that we don't have any time for God. This is the way Satan works. You know, an aspect of the world is education. You all need to get a good education. You can't go back and tell your parents, "Mom and Dad, I learned this weekend that education is part of the world, so I don't want to go to school anymore." No, you have to go to school, and you have to get a good education. But you need to be on guard that you don't get occupied with a good education to the extent that you no longer have time for God, that you no longer have time to go to the meetings. You need to go to school. You need to come home from school and do your homework and study hard. But on certain days, at certain times, you need to close your textbook. You need to put your pencil down and you need to go to the meetings.
Amen.
Lord's Day morning is a time to go to the meetings. There are other things that are good. It's okay to have some exercise, right? It's okay to exercise. But in the world, Satan has taken this and created sports. And now, a lot of people, they are caught up in sports. They're on this team and that team, and they have this practice and that practice, and a game this night and a game that night. Till in the end, there's no time in the week. No time left. They go to school, they come home from school, they quickly do their homework, then they rush out to their sports. And when they come home, they're so tired, they don't have time to read the Bible, they don't have time to pray. On the weekends, when it's time to be for the Lord, they're here playing this game or that game. This is the way the world works. Satan uses evil things, and Satan will even use good things, even things related to the necessities of life. We have to see this. This is the world. Its sole objective is to occupy you. To occupy you. To cause you to have no time for God. See, the influence of the world is powerful. Yes, the influence of the world is powerful. We need to spend a few minutes on this point. And I will actually come back to this point a little bit later with some practical fellowship. But I'd like to tell you, don't think, I will never be someone occupied by Satan. Don't ever think that. Because without God, you have no hope. Without God, no hope. Without God, there is no way that you can resist the influence of the world. The world is powerful. Let's read 1 Peter 4:4 together. In this they think it strange that you are not running together with them into the same flood of dissoluteness, slandering you. This is talking about as we get near the end times, the world is getting worse, the influence of the world is getting stronger, and it's like a flood. It's like a tide. And once you get caught up in the flood, once you get caught up in the tide, in the current of the age, you get swept along with it. I know some of you listening to me have wondered, where is his accent from? Well, I don't believe I have an accent, but to make it simple, I will say I have an accent. I grew up in New Zealand, and in New Zealand, there's a lot of outdoor things to do. I love the outdoors, and in New Zealand, there's a lot of water. We're an island. We're surrounded by the ocean. We've got rivers and lakes everywhere. I grew up my whole life just swimming, being in the water. But I tell you, it's a miracle I'm still here, because I have learned that there is something called a current. And once you get in a strong current, no matter how good of a swimmer you think you are, if the current is stronger than you, you have no hope. You cannot go against the current. You can only be carried along by the current. The world is like a current. It's like a tide. The world is like this. It's going this way. And do you know where it's going to go? Do you know where it flows? The world has a destination, just like every river When it flows, if you get in a river and you stay in the current, it'll take you to the end. And for most rivers, the end is to the ocean. But this river, this current, this tide of the world, when it gets you, it will carry you along, and it has a destination. That destination is the lake of fire, the second death. All those that are in the world, all those that have been carried by the tide, by the current of the age, just floating along with it, will end up in the lake of fire. The city where I ended up living had a large river that flowed through the center of it. And it had a good current. And the brothers and I, we used to like to go swimming in the river. And one of our favorite recreation times was we would go to the river. There was a beach area. We would leave our shirts and shoes there. And we would run on a pathway. We would run up the river to some little cliffs. And then we would run and we would jump off the cliff and land in the river. And then we would just lay there in the river. And we wouldn't have to swim. The current was strong enough. We would just lay there in the river and just float along in the current. Oh, we were enjoying floating along in the current. But we had to be careful, because when we got to the beach where our clothes were, we had to get out. Because if we didn't get out, the current would just keep taking us along. And in that river, at that beach area, and this is how the world is a lot like. With the beach area, where the river was near the shore, the current wasn't that strong, and you could just stand there. You could just stand there, and you wouldn't be carried by the current. But if you would just step out a little further, the current would just get a little bit stronger. But you could still stand there. Then you would step out a little bit further. Now the water's deeper. Now the current is stronger. It's starting to push you a little bit, and you could resist it. Well, if you kept walking, eventually you would walk out far enough where you could no longer resist the current, and you would be carried along. There was one day I was there at that beach area and finished swimming, and I noticed there was a young child playing along the shore, by the shore, and had a little floaty ring on. And I was looking around, and I couldn't see the child's parents. And I think they must have been sitting up on the bank thinking, oh, the child is safe. Oh, the current's not that strong there. But the child was playing, and I noticed as the child was playing and jumping around in the water, oh, this is fun. The child started to kind of just drift out into the current. And then I was watching, and sure enough, the child lost its footing and started to be swept away by the current. Thankfully, I was there. I was able to jump in, grab the child, and bring it back to shore. Sixth graders, this is really what the world is like. Maybe you think, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, the things I'm in. Oh, it's not that hard for me to resist them. But the world is designed in a way to draw you in, to draw you in another little step. Another little step. Oh, it's still not that bad. I can still get out whenever I want. I can still escape. Before you know, you're taking another step. You're being drawn a little closer to more things in the world, going a little bit more away from God. Oh, it's still not that bad. It's fun. I'm enjoying this. Then you take another step, and then one day you take that step, and now you've gone too far in the world, and you have been caught up by the current, and you start to be carried away. This is the world. It's like a current, and it is a strong current. So let's read those points under C together. The influence of the world is like a strong tide. No one can withstand the current of the world. Satan would like to sweep everyone into this strong current of death. This is what Satan would like to do. He knows the destination of the world, but he doesn't care. He wants everybody to be like a dead stick in the current, just laying there. Because he knows by them just laying there in the current, in the tide. Eventually, where will they end up going? With him into the lake of fire. That's terrible. But that is the destination of the world. Let's go on and read Ephesians 2, 2 and 3 together. In which you once walked, according to the age of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirit which is now operating in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all conducted ourselves, once in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the thought, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Before we believed in the Lord, it says, in which you once walked, according to the age of this world. Everyone who does not have Christ walks according to the age of this world. D. There will be a final result to the world's corruption. 1. Just like in the days of Noah, judgment is coming. 2. God has already judged the world with its ruler. 3. The time will come. The time will come when he will carry out this judgment upon the world. Let's read 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements burning with intense heat will be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. God has judged the world, and the day of the carrying out of that judgment is coming. But thank the Lord, that day is not today. That means today is a day of salvation.
Amen.
Today is a day where people can be saved from the world.
Amen.
So I like to tell you, if you are someone in this room tonight, you have not yet received Christ as your Savior. If you did not stand up this morning to receive the Lord, if you have not prayed before coming up to the mountain to receive the Lord, it's not too late.
Amen.
Now's the time.
Amen.
To be saved from the world.
Amen.
From the judgment of this world. Even I ask you, if you are not saved, if you have not received the Lord, even right now, be saved.
Amen.
Even right now, tell your serving one, it's time.
Amen.
It's time for me to be saved. Even right now, you could get up and you can go out with the serving one to pray. How about that? If there's anyone here who has not yet, who did not pray this morning, or has not prayed before coming up, if anyone has not received Christ as their Savior, now,
right.
Now,
right.
Now's the time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That means we have all received Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
That means we all have been saved from God's judgment on the world. Let us go on. Roman numeral 3. Read this together. The way to be saved from God's judgment and from the world. We saw the black background. Now we need to see.
Amen.
There is a way to be saved from God's judgment from the world. A. God prepared Christ to be our ark for us to be saved. In the story of Noah, the judgment came. The flood came, but before the flood came, God prepared with Noah an ark in which they were to be saved. We have to realize today the ark for us is Christ.
Amen.
Christ is our ark. One, when Noah and his family entered into the ark, they were saved from God's judgment on the world. This is very important. When Noah and his family entered into the ark was there, but they needed to get into. Not on, not outside looking at it, but into.
Amen.
It's only when they were in the ark that they were saved from God's judgment on the world. Two, we too must get into the ark. into Christ to be saved from God's judgment and from the world. Amen. Let's read three together. By believing into Him, we are put into Christ and enter into a wonderful life union with the Lord. Okay, sisters, read 1 Corinthians 1:30a. But of Him, God, in Christ Jesus. Good. Brothers, read 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Oh, this is so good. Do you realize this morning when you pray to receive the Lord, you also, in God's eyes, you got put into Christ? You believed into Christ. This is wonderful. There's a verse, Romans 10:9, says, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. You know what this verse puts together? It puts believing and calling. Believing and calling. Do you know the easiest way to believe into the Lord, to get into the Lord, is just to call on His name. Let's call together, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. Brother, standing. Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. Sister, standing. Jesus!
Oh Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus!
Very good. When we believe in the Lord, not only does the Lord who is the Spirit come into us, but we get put into the Lord.
Amen.
It's just like a river. I can get into the river, I'm in the river. And I can open my mouth and drink the river, so I'm in the river. And the river is in me.
Amen.
It's the same without believing. When we believe in the Lord, He as the Spirit comes into us.
Right.
And we also believe into Him.
Amen.
This is the truth.
Right.
And when we are in Him, He is our ark.
Amen.
He saves us from God's judgment on the world.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on and read B together. The ark was covered within and without with pitch. Let's read 1A and B. The pitch
signifies
the blood of Christ. The pitch without protects us from the waters of judgment. The pitch within is for our assurance. Then let's read 2 as well. By the pitch covering the ark within and without, we rise above the judgment of God and come into a new land, the kingdom of God. Let's also read C together. Christ as the ark saves us, not only from God's judgment, but also from the corrupted world, and brings us safely into another realm. Oh, this is wonderful. I have a few more minutes and then we'll end the meeting. But oh, this is so wonderful. When Noah and his family got into the ark on the outside was covered in pitch. The ark on the inside was also covered with pitch. That pitch represents the blood of Christ.
Amen.
It represents Christ having paid the price.
Amen.
To satisfy God's righteous demand.
Amen.
So on the outside, there's the pitch, the blood. The pitch on the outside, or the blood, is for God to see.
Right.
So when God's judgment comes, God sees the blood.
Amen.
He sees that someone has already paid the price.
Amen.
Has already taken the judgment.
Amen.
And so the judgment will not come.
That's right.
Upon those who are in the ark. Upon those who are in Christ.
Amen.
But then, inside the ark, there was Noah and his family. And they were inside the ark. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And there was so much water, it flooded the whole earth. And then the water, the judgment water was there covering the earth for 170 days. Oh, what was it like? for Noah and his family to be inside the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, you hear it raining, raining, raining. And then for 170 days, the judgment waters are there on the outside. Surely they were beginning to wonder, are we okay in here? Is the water going to come in? Is the judgment going to get to us? But if they were to look, what did they see? They saw the pitch. They didn't see the water. They didn't see the judgment. They saw the pitch. It's the same for us. Today, what do we see? We see the blood of Christ. And that blood of Christ assures us God's judgment will not reach us. God's judgment will not touch us. It will never touch us. This is wonderful that we have the blood for our assurance. Well, eventually, the judgment was over. The water abated. And eventually, they were able to come out of the ark. And they were in a new situation. So their being in the ark saved them from God's judgment on the world and also saved them from the world.
Amen. That's right.
Because after the judgment passed, it was a new beginning for them.
Yeah.
Where there wasn't that evil and crooked generation anymore.
Amen.
We have to realize that in our being saved and our believing in the Lord Jesus, it began a transfer where we get transferred out of the world into God's kingdom.
Amen.
And tonight, I only have time to tell you the two steps, but tomorrow morning, the brothers will tell you more about this awesome transfer out of the world into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It begins by believing, and it's completed by being baptized.
Amen.
When we believe and we're baptized, we are transferred.
Amen.
We're out of the world. And we are brought into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Oh, this is a good term. The kingdom of God.
Amen.
Whose kingdom is it? God's.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God, who do we belong to? God.
Amen.
Whose rule are we under?
God.
In the world, we were under Satan's rule.
Right.
Under Satan's influence. But oh, how wonderful.
Amen.
When we get saved. And we get transferred into the kingdom of God. We are no longer under Satan's rule. We now belong to God.
Amen.
I'm so happy tonight. We sang that hymn right before we started the meeting, the speaking. What did it say? I am not my own. Sixth graders, you are no longer your own.
Amen.
When you received the Lord as your Savior, you also began the process of being transferred out of Satan's kingdom, the world, into God's kingdom.
Amen.
And you are now no longer your own.
Amen.
You are the Lord's.
Amen.
You belong to the Lord.
Amen.
I have one more thing before I sit down. I want to tell you about, and the brothers will add to this tomorrow, that something awesome happened to you. Awesome. When you believed in the Lord, the Lord came into you, and He brought His life into you. His life is the eternal life. His life is the strongest life. His life is the highest life. Before you had the Lord, you had no way to go against the tide of the world. But now that you have received the Lord in you, you have another life. And this life can go against the tide.
Amen.
Before you had the Lord, you were dead. You were just like a dead stick in the current. Wherever the current went, you just went. You were powerless. You couldn't do anything. What can a stick do? Nothing. But when you believed in the Lord Jesus, you received the life of Christ.
Amen.
You received eternal life.
Amen.
And it made you a fish.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
It made you a fish.
Yeah.
You now have a life in you that can swim against the current.
Amen.
That can go against the tide of this age.
Amen.
You don't have to go along with what everybody else is doing. You don't have to go along with the world anymore.
Amen.
You have another life in you.
Amen.
This life enables you to go against the current.
Right.
And there's one other thing. Not only do you have another life in you, that enables you to go against the current, but you have lots of other believers who have that same life in them.
Amen.
And together, you can stand against the tide of this age.
Amen.
I need you three, come up here right now. Okay? I told you I grew up in New Zealand. In New Zealand, there are lots of rivers. We used to go hiking all the time when I was your age. And we would often go for hikes. We would come to a river, and there was no bridge over the river. And many times, the river would be about this deep.
Wow.
This deep. And it would have a strong current. And if you tried to walk across by yourself, it was very hard. And most likely, you would be swept over. But you know what? We would cross the river. We would go against the current. And we learned the key, the secret, how to go against the current was not to go it alone, was not to go and stand against the current by yourself. But this is how you cross a river. You lock your elbows like this, right there, like this. I'll lock with you, okay? And together you would step in, the step in. Together you would step at the same time. And you would be able to go in to the river and stand against the current and not be swept away.
Amen.
And if one of us lost the balance, what would the rest do? Would hold them up. Would stop them from falling. Stop them from being swept away.
Amen.
This was how we were able to cross the river against the current.
Amen.
Well, this is the same today. You can sit down now. Not only do you have another life in you that is strong and can help you go against the tide of this age, but you have one another.
Amen.
And together, together you can stand against the tide of this age.
Amen.
Don't be a loner.
Right.
Don't be by yourself.
Amen.
You need to learn to be joined to some other brothers.
Amen.
Brothers, you need to be joined to some other brothers.
Amen.
Sisters, you need to get linked with some other sisters.
Amen.
So you can stand against the tide of this age.
Amen.
Well, time is up. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we need to end. But I'd like to just remind you, if you did not yet get saved,
yet,
it's not too late. How about tonight, before you go to bed,
right,
go to your serving one and tell them, tonight's the night. Now's the time for me to get saved.
Amen.
Do we have a song we could sing right before the announcements? Maybe let's sing that chorus again. I am not my own. Okay? Then Brother Rich has an announcement.